Okay, I think it's time for the next talk. Welcome to the new talk by Katharina Behrens. She will talk about the, I think the history of LibreOffice and how it's gonna port it to the new KDE environment using Qt5. So it's a bit more technical, but I think rather interesting. So thank you.
Yeah. I'm unmuted now. I hope, so thank you for getting up so early. So I usually show this slide. It's some small facts about me, but this talk is not about me. It's about LibreOffice and about KDE. It's about a long journey that started about more than a year ago, and during this time I spent lots of time charming Qt widgets, and I was a lead developer on getting a new KF5 skin on LibreOffice. Is there anybody who doesn't know what LibreOffice is? Is there anyone who doesn't know what KDE is? Okay, everybody knows. We're on the same page, that's great. So what is this going to be all about? In the beginning, I will shortly explain, I hope it will not be too technical and too boring, how the user interface component of LibreOffice in fact works. There's lots of graphs, so it's kind of understandable. Then we will have a look how it used to work in the KDE 4 time with X11, those like platform dependent bits, and why did we decide to not continue that way and kill the KDE 4 port with Fire and start all over again, which challenges we encountered on the way. Then there's an extra chapter about file picker dialog, because like that's the important part of desktop integration. Then I will describe the moment like when I learned like what all things that users do with their office suite I didn't even know, and how we had to add implementation for all of those. And yeah, that will be basically the end of the talk. The VCL plugin. VCL is an acronym. If you are not a LibreOffice developer, you probably don't know what does it stand for. It's a library where most of the things of user interface happen. And is anybody's guess what does it stand for? Like which of those options is it? If I had to guess, then it would be this vastly clueless library, but it's not the case. It's the visual class libraries. So yeah, it's library. It's not a standalone one. It's built into LibreOffice, and most of the things that happen in the user interface happen here. Now, as you perhaps know, LibreOffice is a multi-platform software, and So it means it runs on many different operating systems, Windows and Mac, and then of course Linux. That's why we are all here today. There are different flavors of. Did I unmute? No. Of Linux user interface. There's the GTK interface. Then there is this old-fashioned and like very old, like an age. Generic X11 interface that looks like Windows 95. Then there was, of course, like by now about 10 years old KDE4 interface and the new Qt5 and KF5. So this is like, yes, there's like huge corpse of platform independent software in LibreOffice, and then there is, of course, like the bits that are platform dependent, which is like the widget look and feel, how widgets look, how user interface looks, and how it interacts with the user on the different operating systems. subset of that are the menus. Menus are native for different operating systems, as well as the file pickers and folder pickers. And of course, printing. Printing is also platform-dependent bit. And so how this is implemented? Like, we have in LibreOffice, we have cell instance and cell frames, SSAL, that means like system abstraction layer. Cell instance, that's something, some sort of, or maybe I will show the picture. That's some sort of user interface manager that has many responsibilities, but its ultimate responsibility is to create frames. And what is a frame? A frame is a window. It's a window with the application, but frame is also a, for example, this kind of, what's that? That's a drop-down menu. That's a combo box. So this kind of drop-down menu is a frame as well. A tooltip is a frame. A floating toolbar is a frame. And the ultimate responsibility of this Sally instance is to create and destroy those frames on demand. And also create file pickers and create printers and virtual devices, but that's kind of, the frames are the most important of those objects. What is a frame? Well, I gave some examples already, but this is the platform-dependent bit, and every VCL plugin, every platform has its own implementation of frames of those windows. One of the responsibilities of the frame is to acquire and release the graphics. And what is graphics? Graphics is, we can imagine it as something that enables us to draw things into the frame. So, for example, to draw a rectangle or to draw a line. And the ultimate or the most important function of those APIs that draw things into the frames is to draw the widgets, to draw the controls, the checkboxes, the buttons, the combo boxes, icons, and things like that. So here, once again, in a nutshell, there is a SAL instance, the UI manager, that creates the frames, the windows, the tooltips, the toolbars. Those SAL frames acquire and release the graphics. Graphics allows us to draw into the frames, into the windows. Yes, and this, like the SAL data, that's some like platform-dependent bits that the instance needs. Sorry. So, as I mentioned already, as you perhaps aware, LibreOffice was integrated with KDE4 desktop environment. That implementation is pretty old. It's been about 10 years old by now. And in fact, so why did we decide to ditch this old implementation and write a new one? Well, the first and the foremost reason is that there's barely any Linux distribution in those days that ships KDE4. So it's very much legacy code. And the way it was implemented, it was a very thin layer around X11 or Xlib. And so what you see on the screen, if you used to use KDE4 frontend, those are no native widgets. Those are not Q windows, those are not K windows. Those are like old-fashioned X11 windows. And how like it looks like KDE, but it's like so-called, I would call it like Potemkin Village. It's an illusion. So you will, I'm not sure if you people are aware what the QPainter is. It's some component of Qt library that like no drawing on the screen happens without Qt Painter. So how this old KDE4 plugin used to work is that we used to take the Qt Painter, add some Qt styles. So we used to draw a widget with the Qt Painter and with the Qt style, for example, OK button like that, to obtain the Qt image, which is like the Qt implementation of image. Then we pieced together all of those Q images to obtain a Q pix map, that was like some representation of a dialogue, like the dialogue with the labels, with the controls, with the buttons. And the resulting QPix map was taken, and using this low level X11 function, it was taken and copied directly into X11 window. And so it looked like native, but it wasn't native. And not only did we depend on X11 for painting, the KDE4 plugin used to depend on X11 also for processing the events. And since those were not the native dialogues, not the native windows, not the native event processing, also the modality. Modality is like when the pop-up dialog appears like over another dialog, it is only this pop-up that is active and you can't interact with the underlying dialog, which was a problem. And now that the Wayland has become like more widespread, it became clear that since we strongly depended on X11, this will crash and burn and it will not work on Wayland. And then the gentlemen of the Qt company came and said in Qt 5, there will be no more direct access to X11. So that was the final nail into the coffin, because we were like with KDE, with Qt 5, it was no longer possible to like take this X11 pixmap and paste it directly into X11 window. And similarly, it was no longer possible to use the X11 way of processing the events. So what to do? Yeah, this was like more or less that was my reaction when we kind of realized like how much work there is ahead of us. But we can do it. And we did. Of course, there was like plenty of challenges on the way, and I will now describe several of them. As I already mentioned, we could no longer use X11 windows. So what to replace X11 windows with? We replaced them with the native Q windows and Qt widgets. And if you remember the graph I was showing, every window, every tooltip, every toolbar, every drop-down box is a cell frame. So now there is one-on-one correspondence between the cell frame. Every cell frame is a Q widget or Q window. The side effect of this is that suddenly the native modality is possible. So we become those like pop-up dialogues opened over the main window that are beautifully centered over the main window, and there's this kind of gray overlay that makes it clear it is not possible to interact with the background window. And also, like those are Q windows, Q widgets, the main window is a derivative of Q main window, and the advantage of Q main window is that it supports the native menus. So we get native menus almost for free, almost, because like we have to first take the LibreOffice menus and map them to Q menus, but everything else then kind of works out of the box. Well, and other bit that was no longer possible. It was no longer possible to paint to the windows using those low-level X functions. So we had two options how to move forward. One of them was the clean room implementation of the painter that was based on the Q painter, and that would mean second implementing those simple APIs like how to draw a line, how to draw a widget, how to draw a rectangle, like implementing it all from scratch. So this has partially happened, but the preferred option was the second variant, which is what the current KF5 frontend uses, which was integration with headless graphics. So there already is an implementation of a painter that is used by headless LibreOffice when it runs on the server, as well as the GTK3. So, and this implementation of the painter uses Cairo. So we borrowed this painter and it works like this. So the main window, like the windows that are now Q windows and Q widgets are, so there's a big custom widget inside, which contains the Cairo canvas. And like in the olden days, like in the KDE4, we use again Q painter, and we use the Q style to paint the widget, to paint the cute OK button like that. And then this Q image, the button, is converted into raw bitmap. And the raw bitmap is kind of pasted to the Cairo canvas using the Cairo operators. And compared to the old style of like taking the entire bitmap and pasting it into the X window, the advantage of this Cairo canvas and of the backend that's like based on the Cairo canvas is that if we now need to refresh the window, we can refresh only the parts that really need refreshing, and we don't have to draw it all over again, which is more efficient and kind of faster. So that was rendering of the windows, that was painting, and the next element where like the next point of dependence of on X11 was the processing of the events of the mouse clicks, of the keyboard presses, of whatever else. So all the frames are now Q widgets or Q windows. And since they are Q widgets, that means they receive cute events. So we can take those cute events and map them to cell events, like to the LibreOffice internal events, in such a way that like they are custom widgets. So we re-implement the event handlers in such a way they will process the cute event and map it to the cell event, to the event LibreOffice internally understands. And this is some kind of screenshot. As I said before, since we now use Qt windows, and the main application window, the main writer or the main calc window is the Qt main window, we are now able to add a native menu to this window and kind of effortlessly. Before, the window, the menu was only allowed to be in the main window. Now, maybe you know it from the KD, maybe you know it from Mac, kind of effortlessly this global window is, the global menu is possible. So the menu is no longer in the window, but like in this kind of global menu bar. That was previously not possible. Yes, and so since using Office application is about opening files, about saving files, the file picker is also like an important component of Office application, and it's also a platform dependent bit. So every platform has its own implementation of file picker. So how does it work? As I said, like the bulk of the LibreOffice code is just a plain C++ or Java code. It's kind of agnostic. So it just says, I will show a picture. Let's have a printing. And we have a document and we want to print it to file. So the generic C++ code responsible for printing just says, yeah, print to file and open a file picker. Let the user choose which file to print into. So this generic printing code contacts the Sally instance, the UI manager, and the UI manager is responsible for creating the frames, but also for creating and destroying the file pickers. the UI manager, the Sally instance, contacts the Joe KF file picker, which is the platform-specific implementation of the file picker. That so there is some contract, some set of interfaces this platform-dependent file picker has to implement. And Joe file picker kind of advertises himself or promotes himself as the one who implements all those interfaces that we need. And then the platform-dependent Joe file picker is responsible for ultimately opening this file selection dialog. So why is this so complicated? Why does every platform need to re-implement it, all those complicated interfaces, like setting the file filter or enabling the control or setting label on a control or, well, the switching, like the take switching into directory and like retrieving directory? That's kind of self-explanatory, but why do we need all those other interfaces? Well, it's exactly because of LibreOffice file picker comes with lots of custom functionality. So when you decide to save a file, you can, for example, choose to encrypt the file with GPG key. Or if you can choose to, I don't know, edit the output filter settings. And for that, we have those, like, it's marked with red on my slide. For those, we have lots of custom checkboxes and also list boxes. So every file picker has to be able to go about with those checkboxes and list boxes to provide the custom functionality. So this was a bit smaller challenge to implement than everything else, because there was an existing implementation. If you use LibreOffice 6.1, you have probably came across this implementation. It has been done by Million Wolf, and it's GTK over KDE 5. So what you see in LibreOffice 6.1 is the GTK user interface. And over this user interface, there's a standalone binary, standalone application, which is a KDE platform-specific application, which represents the file picker. And those two communicate over standard in and standard out. So most of the important interfaces do exist in this GTK over KDE5 file picker, so all we need to do was to kill this standard in and standard out communication with Fire and just open the K file dialog directly. And while I was at it, before, LibreOffice had no real folder picker. This is not a native folder picker. That's some generic folder picking dialog. But nowadays, this is a native Plasma folder picker that exists in KDE5. So now all this has been done. We can open the files, we can save them, we can implement, we can open the windows, we can close the windows. Everything renders beautifully on the screen and everything's dandy. So I think I could put my feet up now and have some fun. But unfortunately, it was not so easy. And it was only now that we kind of started to learn all the things that users do with their Office application. So is it anyone's guess what the first bug report looked like once this code hit the master? Yeah, so the first bug report was I can't copy and paste, which is of course like crucial functionality missing. And then the next report came, it crashes, but it was kind of to be expected. But like the third or fourth report was I can't drag and drop. And then of course users, LibreOffice comes with like a rich set of extensions. So there were, of course, like we didn't think about that when implementing this basic functionality. So now the accommodations had to be made for the extensions. And of course, it's nice to have some accessibility support, because if you are like visually impaired and you depend on the screen reader and you opened the KDE 4 front end, then the silence was kind of deafening, because it was completely invisible to the screen reader. So how implementing this beyond basic functionality looks like, it's usually like what you see like the tip of the iceberg is the actual Qt code, and the huge part below the water it's the large set of boilerplate, you know, interfaces and like lots of generic LibreOffice specific C++ code, which is kind of scary. So copy and paste, that's some kind of crucial functionality. So you can copy and paste, of course, like within one window from one paragraph to the other. You can copy and paste across the application. So I think that initially used to work like that. Every window had its own instance of the clipboard, which is of course bad, because sometimes you want to copy paste across the applications. Like you have a table in Calc, you want to copy paste it to Writer. And then of course like external copy paste comes to play. You want to copy something from Stack Overflow and you want to paste it into your document. So that was kind of initially unfunctional too. And you copy paste not only the text, but also HTML or images or whatever else. And to make the matters even worse, in X11, there are two kinds of clipboard. There's like what do you see, like Control-C and Control-V, like the generic clipboard. And there's, of course, a selection clipboard, like when you mark something with the mouse, that's the other. And then you right click with the right mouse button, that's the other kind of clipboard. Not only... do we need like one shared instance of the clipboard across the applications, but we need two shared instances of the clipboard. So yeah, this is how it is now implemented. So this is LibreOffice Green. It's some branding color. So that's this huge interface, like that's under the water, like the body of the iceberg, and it has APIs like set content, which is like the get the item or get the thing to paste, and get content. It means like get me whatever is in the clipboard and put it into my document. Then there's of course like the selection clipboard, which is like the mouse selection, and the tip of the iceberg, that's the Qt functionality, which uses Qt clipboard and puts the data into the system clipboard and or gets the data from the system clipboard. And then of course, sometimes users like, it's not only copy and paste, but also drag and drop. It's again like within one frame, like, I don't know, drag one drag shape from point A to the point B. It's also drag and drop across the frames. A typical example is you open a gallery and you drag an image into your drawing. And then of course there's external drag and drop. Typically again, like you take a file manager, drag a file from file manager and drop it into LibreOffice. That is currently fully supported. When it comes to other text editors, when you want to, I don't know, take Kate or Kwrite text editor and you want to drag some text into LibreOffice, this doesn't work yet. Of course, here, just as well with the copy and paste, we had to take many different data types into account, and also different operations. When you copy and paste, just copy and paste. But when you drag and drop, you can decide like what to do with the item when you drop the item. either the item will be moved into the new place, or it can be copied into the new place, or it can be linked into the new place. So this is how it was implemented. Again, this LibreOffice Green is the bottom of the iceberg. It's some bulk of C++ code, some LibreOffice interfaces that are responsible for the drag and drop. And if we use the external drag and drop, we use this QMIME data, which is some cute class that is used for like shipping the data between the applications. So for the external drag and drop, we use the QMIME data with the payload. So it's Qt, or it's the desktop environment, that's responsible for putting the content into this parcel, into the QMIME data. And then we just drop it into the application, into the writer. But when it comes to internal drag and drop, and I have like two different LibreOffice windows, or I have this gallery, or yeah, even within one document, the mechanism is a little bit different. This is called internal drag and drop, and we still use the QMIME data class, but it is empty. It has no payload, and in addition, there's this X transferable interface, which kind of emulates the payload. So we have the empty box, but it is LibreOffice itself that is responsible for putting some content. Like when the drop happens, the LibreOffice itself is responsible for supplying the content that has to be dropped. And then, of course, there are various extensions. Very famous extension is Volmux, which is some template manager. Another famous extension is, for example, TextMath, there are like various extensions that, like, when the functionality is not on LibreOffice Core, because it's some like fringe functionality not everyone uses, then it's an extension. Those are like those OXT files that you can install in addition to Core LibreOffice. And what those extensions typically do, apart from calling different API functions, sometimes they need to open a file picker. Sometimes they need to open entirely new file in a new window. That means in LibreOffice speak, new frame. Sometimes they need to dispatch API commands. And those API commands sometimes open the dialogs. But the feature of the extensions is that they typically don't run in the main LibreOffice thread. So it's another thread. But the gotcha with Qt is that it is only the main thread that is allowed to access the user interface. So what happens now? If the non-main thread attempts to do something with the user interface, and the answer is the bad things happen. The deadlocks happen and the crashes happen. So this was so to say perhaps the latest mile and the most difficult mile to have the new KDE frontend behave in multi-threaded environment. And the solution was to implement some elaborate system of acquiring and releasing the logs to make sure that every user interface activity happens always in the main thread. And then there was, of course, thousands of small paper cuts, some thousands of things we needed to implement. So one of the first things I did when this functionality hit the master is that I implemented the native tooltips, like those bubbles with the help that appear when you roll your mouse over a toolbar button or over a widget. Simply because it was getting increasingly difficult to support the native tooltips, non-native tooltips, so it was like easier to kill them with fire and just implement them natively. Then there was, of course, like lots of rendering glitches, for example, with the floating toolbars. One of the nasty bugs, very annoying bugs, was the system fonts were not honored in a very ugly way that the font was condensed into very small space and it was almost not legible. then, of course, we use OpenGL, LibreOffice uses OpenGL for some slide transitions and for some video rendering sometimes. So we also had to add the OpenGL support. Then there are, of course, there are users worldwide that don't use the Latin TypeScript, like the system of writing, but they use some complex input methods, so we had to add the support for those, for the languages such as Chinese and Japanese. Some basic support for accessibility, for the screen reader happens, so now when you open LibreOffice window with KF5 frontend, the screen reader will see it and will read the content of the widgets. Of course, then there was some support for dual screen when you present or when you work on two monitors so that the LibreOffice windows are properly placed. And of course, then many crashes and lots of polishing of rough edges happened. So I'm almost at the end of my talk. Where's the code? How can I put my hand on this? And where can I get this nice stuff? So the code is, of course, in LibreOffice Master, which you can build yourself, but you no longer have to, because the Document Foundation ships the daily builds of LibreOffice, like a fresh build every day. And when I presented this talk about 6 months ago on some other conference, this was still not the case. But now KDE 5 support is enabled for the daily builds. And if you in February, like a month ago, LibreOffice 6.2 was released, and KF5 frontend ships with LibreOffice 6.2. LibreOffice 6.2 comes with every major Linux distribution. So if you use relatively recent version of your favorite Linux distribution, you will have LibreOffice 6.2 and you will have KF5 frontend. And here are some people that made all of this happen. Jan-Marek Logowski of City of Munich, who was the man who got this all started. Then there was Milian Wolf of KDAB, who implemented the GTK over KDE5 file picker. Then there is my spouse, Torsten Behrens, who polished lots of rough edges and did lots of bug fixing. My colleague Samuel Merbrot, who implemented accessibility. Michael Weghorn of City of Munich, who also did some file picker work and MISC bug fixing. Alexei Nikiforov, he did lots of fixing in the menus and implemented OpenGL support. Michael Stahl, which is my colleague as well, who helped a lot with those threading and extensions fixes. And Vera, Cisco, and Roman, who are very keen and very enthusiastic testers of this whole thing. So, any question? I was asked if it's okay to ask the questions in German, so it's okay if you feel like you can ask the questions in German, and I will try to answer in my broken German.
Okay, dann. Ich wechsle jetzt einfach mal auf Deutsch. Wir machen das so. Wer Fragen hat, meldet sich bitte. Im Zweifel kann ich Fragen auch übersetzen, also und auch Antworten versuche ich dann halbwegs zu übersetzen. Insofern, ich glaube, da sind wir relativ frei in der Sprachwahl. Ansonsten gibt es Fragen an die Sprecherin? Dann würde ich kurz mit dem Mikro hinkommen und oder so.
Ja, what's not absolutely clear to me, or what's not clear is what does the system abstraction layer abstract from? Does it abstract from the platform, Linux, Windows, Mac, or does it abstract from the surrounding window environment, which is Qt or GTK based?
System abstraction layer, it abstracts from the operating system and the re-implementations implement the interfaces in the operating system specific way. So on Windows we use the Windows API. In GNOME we use GTK library, and then of course like in Qt 5 we use Qt library.
Okay, thank you. May I ask one more question? Does LibreOffice completely base on Qt now, or does there also exist a GTK?
Yes, of course. It would be like a dream came true, like one Qt frontend to rule them all. If it would be running on Mac, on Windows, and on Linux, like everywhere, it's not going to happen. But it would be like my ultimate dream if this happened, because it would somehow lower the maintenance cost so much. But no, GTK 3 frontend is still alive and kicking, so it's available like on GNOME, and it's not gonna die anytime soon.
Is it two separate builds? So for example,
it's two separate shared libraries.
Thank you.
Gibt es noch andere Fragen? So ganz spontan.
Okay. Auf Englisch oder auf Deutsch. Wie sieht es aus mit Upgrade versus New Install von 6.1 auf 6.4? Was würden Sie empfehlen? What would you recommend? Trash the 6.1 and reinstall 6.2? Or can you want to upgrade with a reasonable level of success?
It depends what's your goal. Like if you want something, if you want something conservative and something stable that doesn't crash too often and implements all the functions, I recommend to stay with 6.1. If you are a bit more adventurous and it doesn't disturb you that you have to report a bug every once in a while, switch to 6.2.
Noch weitere Fragen? Any other questions? If that's not the case, then I want to ask a question too, because I was just wondering, you said that with the new architectures you have more layers of you have more layers of abstraction between the basic X11.
I didn't say that. It was always the case.
It was always it.
It's just like I was showing this huge iceberg picture, mm-hmm. to illustrate it. Like if someone now wants to come say, oh, I can do Qt, or I can do GTK, and I can code LibreOffice now, I can help. It's not like that. Like the actual Qt code is very small fraction, but it's like that everywhere. It always was like that, and it's like that on all the platforms.
Okay, the question I had was if you have more layers of abstraction, then the costs on memory or maybe calculation time, so memory or CPU time, would increase as it is for different languages. So if you are on the assembler level, well, the code is horrible, but it's rather fast compared to, well, let's say, Java or something else. You know what I mean?
Not really.
Okay, no. So the question is, are there
if the,
any
if the
issues
two layers of too many layers of abstraction make the thing like decrease
issues.
Performance?
Yeah. Did something like that happen? It's not that I assume it happened, but
maybe
it's
they yes, it's possible that they do, but okay. as soon as you have like a software that runs on many platforms that has like many different implementation of the system level functions, this is the price to pay for that.
Sure. So it is not an issue actually with the new LibreOffice.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions concerning this highly technical talk? Then thank you very much for your attention and for the speaker as well.